The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You know what I just realized would be kind of sweet about the Storm beating Washington for the WNBA championship? Mm-hmm. The Sonics' only NBA championship came against Washington.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they made it to the finals in 78 and then against the Washington Bullets. Mm-hmm. And then they had a rematch against the Washington Bullets in 79 and the Sonics won it.
A repeat of history.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of cool. And the Washington Bullets, they had to change the nickname because I don't know what year they changed it, but Bullets was too violent. So, which is kind of funny to think about. The Washington, D.C., our nation's
capital. Washington, D.C.
You got the Bullets, the Redskins. I mean, those are the sports teams in our nation's capital at the time. So it's still the Redskins. Who, by the way, I was just reading, because we were talking about the Mariners getting all this money for Safeco Field.
Right.
The Redskins used to play at RFK Stadium, which is just one of the smallest NFL stadiums, 50,000 seats. Then they tore it down and built in, 20 years ago. It's called, I think it's FedEx Field. It holds 90,000 people. It's a palace.
Wow.
The owner of the Redskins now wants a new stadium. So he's going to the different municipalities and the city of D.C. to see which ones will give him the most tax money to build a new billion-dollar stadium, even though his current one is only 20 years old. And they said that the reason he might have trouble is because he's a big Trump supporter and the nickname the Redskins. So the politically correct people hate him because he likes Trump and he refuses to change the name of the team from Redskins. So that's his biggest opposition to getting $500 million of tax money.
It would have nothing to do with the fact that maybe the stadium's still okay and it's a whole lot of money.
Yeah, and he doesn't need tax money to do it. Yeah. Yeah, it's his politics why he might not get it. If he was a Hillary supporter, give him $2 billion for a new stadium. What do we care? Oh, speaking of sports, just real quick here.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
We are, in a few minutes, going to give away some Mariners tickets for a game coming up on September 28th, Fan Appreciation Night against the Rangers. We're going to have a big, huge fireworks show. You can get tickets for that whole series at Mariners.com. But and you can hear the whole Ranger series on our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle. But in a few minutes, I'm going to give away tickets to a lucky one of you for Mariner Fan Appreciation Night. And then before I get to all the Big Lead stories, I've got a bunch of local news. Did you hear about the serial dine and dash dater? You hear about this?
Yes.
Dude? We talked about him months and months and months ago. So it's a 45-year-old guy, Paul Guadalupe Gonzalez. And what he does is he meets women on Tinder and other dating platforms, and he always arranges a lavish dinner at a fancy restaurant for their first date. And I've been told, I've been out of the dating game.
Yep.
The guy's ever in it. I've been out of the dating game for 35 years
now. Can you
just
imagine yourself in a world of Tinder?
No. How would I, Nicole, you consult with some guys on their Tinder activity. Everybody likes going to Nicole for advice.
Uh-huh.
How would I do on Tinder if I was foot loose and fancy free?
I think you would do well on photo selection. But
what does that mean?
Well, because that's what I do most of my coaching on.
Photo of me or of the
women?
You would pick appropriate photos because I think that you are just as annoyed as I am with some of the weird photos.
I heard that every photo of a woman on Tinder, she's wearing a Seahawk jersey. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I probably have one of those. No, now that I think about it.
Oh, man.
No, there probably is.
I don't think Seahawks jersey is the big problem with the photos.
Yeah. No, it's the bathroom selfies. I don't understand the bathroom selfies.
I wouldn't put a bathroom selfie on.
Exactly. See, I think you would make a good decision like that.
Yeah. I'd be doing the peace sign in my duck lips.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
I hope some people were watching the webcam for that, because I just did my Tinder profile for you. The fingers and duck lips. Anyway,
Tinder.
Let me get back to this
okay,
guy.
I know who's on Tinder.
Okay, so 45-year-old dude, Paul Guadalupe Gonzalez. So he would arrange to go to super fancy restaurants, and then he would order lobster tail and just the most expensive thing on the menu. And then he would excuse himself to go to the bathroom, and then he'd take off. He would dine and dash and leave the women stuck with several $100 bills in the restaurant. He has done this at least 16 times, which probably means he's done it 80 times, because there are so many women, I'm sure, who are embarrassed and didn't report it. And
okay,
just...
do you have a chance to rate your date on Tinder? Like, okay, don't go out with this dude.
No, but that I don't think so. I'm not on Tinder. But I think that's actually a good idea.
Right?
We should create an app where
like
you could
Yelp.
Do that.
He's been charged now with four counts
great.
Of extortion. He could go to prison for 16 years because he's done this to so many women. They finally arrest him. His bail's been set at $315,000. And I would think even a pacifist like you, Ursula, will agree with me on this one.
Mm.
What this guy needs, every bit as much as 16 years in jail. And I have no problem putting him away for 16 years. But some guy who loves one of the women he did this to needs to just beat the crap out of this guy. Can we just all agree on that at least? Is that something?
I'll stick with the 16 years in jail. I think
that's
good.
How about we just say that you would stand back if that were to happen?
If somebody did that to you, Nicole, I would get Wyman. And then we would chase down the guy, and I would say, Dave, beat the crap out of that guy. I make that vow to you.
Okay, thanks. I'll let you know. Well,
that's what's got to happen. This
is scumbag.
But seriously. I mean, the whole dating world, it just sounds so awful. And then you have a guy like this, and he does stuff like that to 16 people, and he's getting some jollies out of it because he does it over and over again. Somebody's got to just...
Men seem to enjoy the dating process much more than women. I know a guy that went on 5 dates a couple weekends ago, and that is my idea of hell. I hate it. Small talk, saying the same thing 5 times in a weekend because it's all the same stuff. All the same. Sounds terrible. But men seem to enjoy it.
Can you imagine me trying to make small talk with somebody?
No.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, that would be awful. So anyway, that's what I think needs to happen to this dude. Somebody's got to just wax his legs.
Maybe that'll happen in jail.
What's that even a saying? Is that a phrase?
Now it is, apparently.
Does that mean beat him up? I don't even know. That's how out of it I am.
Are you on Ambien again, Dory?
No, I'm fine. I'm as sober as a judge. Well, not Bobby Bridge, but, you know, the sober judges. Okay, let's get right to the big lead here.
The big lead, big local.
Well, several months ago, when we first started talking about the drug plague having worsened so horribly all around our region, one of the citizen activists, I don't think she intended to be a citizen activist, but she did because she was just sounding the alarm on everything that was going around her home in North Ballard. Erica Nagy, she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Erica, always good to talk with you.
Great chatting with you as well.
And you sent us a photo over the weekend. Describe to my listeners what was in that photo and where it was taken.
Yeah, so in the photo was a backpack with a number of used hypodermic needles strewn inside. What was not pictured were actually much more belongings that included even more needles and what appeared to be stolen packages and goods from around the neighborhood. And they were found directly across the street, kind of kitty corner, to my son's elementary school, North Beach Elementary, here in North Ballard.
Okay. And this has been, of course, a long-time, ongoing problem. Are there encampments right in the area there?
Absolutely. I mean, they're all over the place. But, you know, that North Beach Park or Ravine has been somewhat okay, but there actually is, just as early as yesterday when I looked, and I'll check again today, but there's already tents being set up in that ravine. So, you know, they're all over Kharkiv, which is, you know, the issue that we're having with Whitman and people coming out and dropping and using their drugs around that middle school. And now within that ravine, there are used needles, you know, right around where kindergartners, 5-year-olds, you know, are stepping to get in and out of cars from pickup.
And it's, you know, I always flash back to when you confronted sleazy, smarmy city councilman Mike O'Brien several months ago at a community meeting. And he said to you, do you think the war on drugs was working? Suggesting that the policies that they have now are somehow superior to when we were a little bit tougher on drug users. And I'm trying to figure out in what, you know, what kind of goggles does Mike O'Brien wear if he can stand at a community meeting and suggest that their current policies are somehow superior to when we actually cracked down a bit on these drug users.
Well, Mike O'Brien isn't showing up to any community meetings, so I'm pretty sure that narrative for him he's realized isn't working these days. But, you know, that's exactly the point, Dory. Who is protecting our children in all of this? If children cannot even safely go to and from school, you know, how do you tell a child, how do you tell a kindergartner what to do or not to do with a used hypodermic needle? I mean, it's absolutely insane that we are having to have these conversations with our children.
It is. It is insane. And so then the question becomes, because a lot of people always say to me that, man, Monson, if you hate the region so much, why don't you move? And what I always say is, I love the city in which I grew up. I don't live in Seattle anymore, but I grew up there in Ballard. I went to school in Ballard. I want to keep fighting for the city. However, I will say, Erica, my wife and I, even before we had kids, because I'm a product of the Seattle Public Schools, and you can hear what a mess I am, we said we don't want to raise our kids in the Seattle Public Schools, and so we moved out to the suburbs. Why do you keep banging your head against the wall trying to make change in a city where the leaders are just bound and determined and hell-bent to take it straight downhill?
Well, somebody has to, right? I mean, if we all just roll over and give up, then they're going to be able to continue to enact the policies that they've been doing for the last few years. And I think what I am sensing within the community and is a silent majority that is really fed up with all of this leadership, fed up with the policies, fed up with the direction that our city is going in. And quite frankly, you know, I think we have to stand up whether you're in Seattle City proper or not. It affects all of us in the Puget Sound region. And we need to stand up and say, absolutely not. This is insanity. It's got to stop and put our foot down. And, you know, again, I'll just remind everybody, 7 of these guys are up in 2019. So what we have to do is continue to, you know, beat the drum about all the issues that our city is facing, but also get people motivated and engaged so they come out and vote.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they'll just say, hey, we'll give you more free stuff. I mean, that's been the message that has elevated this pathetic group of council members to their position. We'll just give you free stuff. We'll just take stuff from other people. We'll give you free stuff. You want to use drugs, we'll give you a place to shoot up. You know, we have Sally Dime Bagshaw, who's even suggested maybe we'll buy you your heroin. All it is this powerful message of we will just keep giving you stuff if you keep voting for us.
Well, and that's why I'm saying the majority of people that are actually feeling and impacted by this and are paying, there is no such thing as free, as you know, but, you know, those of us that are paying for all this free stuff that, you know, we've had enough. You know, this even the school levy that's coming up. I mean, it's one of those situations just like the no tax on jobs where, you know, I am a very giving person. I have 2 of my children in Seattle Public Schools, and I'm going to vote absolutely no on that levy because, again, just like what the city council was doing, the Seattle Public School System, too, needs to figure out how to fiscally and responsibly spend their budget. And they need to protect their children. And so this is a prime example of, you know, again, policies that are out there that are really putting our most vulnerable citizens at risk every day. And I'm not okay with that.
Well, I hope you are correct that the pendulum has swung as far as it's going to swing, because it's either going to start moving back to the middle or it's going to just swing the city off a cliff. And I honestly don't know which one it is at this point.
I'm very hopeful that we are swinging back to a more moderate stance, and I'm happy to help participate in that.
Okay, got it. Erica, thanks for letting us. So, but as of this morning, Monday morning, before I went on the air, there were still all kinds of tents and drug encampments all around the schools there?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're all over Carkeek Park. You can't even walk down there without seeing, you know, a good number of tents and debris and garbage and needles throughout there. And then, like I said, in that North Beach Park right across the street from North Beach Elementary, I did see one tent. I'm not going to go wander down the path by myself to see if there are any more, but typically where there's one, there are more.
Yeah. All right. Erica, keep fighting the good fight. I appreciate you spreading the word.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Erica Nagy, a mom there in North Ballard who has to deal with this around her kids' schools on a daily basis. I'd love to hear more. What do you think about all this? You can text me, the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
Speaking of that Online Trading Academy text line, so we got, man, hundreds of text messages. I went off at noon today. If you were listening, you know what the topic was because I got all lathered up. So down in Renton at the King County Library this morning, a bunch of listeners brought this to my attention. They were doing a story time. For, if they said, suitable for infants, preschoolers, and toddlers. Sponsored by Friends of the Renton Libraries. And just sounded like a wonderful event. Oh, I left out one line. The name of the neighborhood guest series, Drag Queen Story Time. And the description of it here was, what do drag queens and children have in common? They love dressing up in all things sparkly and fancy. Join special guest Sparkle Lee for a fun-filled hour of stories, songs, crafts, snacks, and photos. So I asked Nicole, can we get somebody from the King County Library to come on, just chit-chat with me about this? And they told you
that they were busy with 100 people who had shown up.
Yeah. Big turnout for drag queen story time. And so I'd like to find out more about the drag queen who's reading to the kids in the taxpayer-paid government library.
Well, I'm sure it sounds like it was a success. So I'm sure there'll be a return.
Oh, well, no, they're doing it in the Seattle libraries, too. So anyway, I found this drag queen on YouTube. Smoking a joint with a guy playing Mario Kart and dropping some MF bombs.
So we're going to play some multiplayer Mario. Are you comfortable? Well, let's do 100cc because
this is the other guy in the drag queen's the next voice here.
We're going to be talking. What, do you want to do 150?
Oh, because you need baby steps?
We're doing 150.
Bring it, we're going in.
Is there a Mario Kart character that you find you go back to over the years? Because they have a lot of the same ones from the original Mario.
Toad. I love Toad.
Well, we got Toad, so don't worry.
Yeah, because he screams when he's excited, and so do I.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that if you're going to have a drag queen read stories to your kids in the government library, you want one who likes getting high and dropping MF bombs on YouTube while playing Mario Kart. Sounds like a good... So anyway... Ursula, you got to go back to the podcast. Ursula and Nicole are arguing with me about this, and they're suggesting that I'm somehow a prude because I don't want, and like I said, you want to be a drag queen? Be a drag queen. None of my business. But this whole government, library, taxpayer-funded facility thing, and I'm happy to say after checking the hundreds and hundreds of texts, 87% of the listeners agreed with me.
Really, 87?
Not the actual percentage, maybe an estimate. Yeah. Yeah, they recognize how whacked out you and Ursula were on this topic.
Mm.
Yeah. It's close to 87%. In fact, it might be higher. I might have been conservative with that estimate. Okay, real quick, let me give away these Mariner tickets here.
I'm sorry, I don't have a sounder for you there, Dory.
It's supposed to be exclusive, Sean.
Oh, exclusive.
Exclusive. The fifth caller right now at 888-973 Cairo. 888-973-5476. If you are caller number 5, you will win 2 tickets to the September 28th Mariner game against the Texas Rangers, and they're going to have a big post-game fireworks show. Fifth caller right now, 888-973 Cairo. Get tickets for that series at mariners.com. That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, let's go check the news, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. coming up next. I'm intrigued. Nicole just started laughing and said she just found our number one awesome audio, and I don't have any idea what it is. Just said, don't waste.
So good.
Don't waste any time. No falderall. Got to make sure I get through all of these.
Ooh,
so
I'm going to listen.
With that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, at number three, have you ever heard of Broadway star Carol Cook? She's a grand dame of Broadway.
No,
I hadn't either. But she was leaving a restaurant with her, I don't know if it's a husband, a boyfriend. He looks a little like Martin Scorsese if Martin Scorsese was 120 years old. So anyway, somebody at a production of Frozen a few weeks or several days ago, last week maybe, held up a Trump 2020 banner and one of the actors ripped it out of the customer's hands. So TMZ asked her about that.
Number three.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
Oh.
Right?
Yes, that's what you say.
Now you're going to ask me who the hell John Wilkes.
No, I know who John Wilkes is.
Thank you, darling.
He killed presidents.
They killed
Don't
one
say
anyway.
That.
Well,
they'll get me for that. They won't. See, no. Where is he when you need him?
You see, because if somebody shot and murdered Donald Trump, that would be hilarious to this venerable Broadway star. Oh, isn't she delightful? I like her 120-year-old boyfriend. He shot presidents. You get it? Okay, at number two in our awesome audience. I'm getting hand signals. Okay.
Well, you can, whichever one you want to do.
Oh, okay. Oh, Burt Reynolds, who just passed away last week. I thought this was really sweet. David White, A.R. White. He's a movie producer, a Christian actor, and he talked with Burt Reynolds a few years ago about when Burt was the happiest.
Number two.
I wish that I could have done Evening Shade for 10 years. I really do. It was a wonderful time. I think the happiest I was for those years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And the second happiest was Gunsmoke. Because of the way that Jim took care of everybody.
Hmm.
It was a great lesson for me. I tried to...
How old were you when you were on Gunsmoke?
I was young. I mean, comparatively young. About in my 20s.
Right. It's awesome.
What a career. I mean, he was on Gunsmoke, which was the biggest show on television in the late 50s, early 60s. And then he was still doing stuff, into his 80s. So it's pretty amazing. Okay, at number one, so I haven't even seen this yet. A guy.
Yeah, we may have hit a new low. So this dad is driving his wife to the hospital who's in labor. So he's filming it on Facebook Live while he's driving.
While his wife's in labor.
And yeah.
Number one.
Can you wait like 2 minutes?
Oh, help me, everything,
what do I do? Hold on. She's coming out.
He's still driving?
Oh, yes. Wait for it.
It's still like that. Hold on, wait.
And Facebook Living this. He's live streaming this.
Yes. He's laughing, still driving, still filming.
What's the matter with
him? The baby is half out.
Oh my
baby
gosh.
Cry.
He's still driving.
Oh my goodness. We just delivered a baby in the car. Oh my
gosh. Oh.
Yeah,
this marriage ain't gonna last.
No. Dude, you had nothing to do with this.
Oh, who would think goodness. To live stream this?
I can't believe that just happened.
Listen to what he says.
Wow. That's crazy, isn't it, guys?
Talking to everybody watching.
You just saw a baby born.
Oh, Lord. We're in trouble. Our society is in trouble. Okay, those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's Signs next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a way to kick off a week. Big Monday show and lots more still to come with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
The anti-cop sentiment continues to run wild, including in Detroit, where a food truck owner has said she will not serve police officers or any other law enforcement officials because she, along with the majority of her customers, do not feel safe around law enforcement agents. The owner of Rocky's Road Brew, Rocky Coronado, said on Facebook that she is well within her rights to refuse service to law enforcement agents, police officers, ICE officials. She said she turned away two cops on Friday who were in an unmarked black Suburban. They had bulletproof vests and badges. She said that she just told him, I don't serve law enforcement. And you know what? I'm okay with this under one condition. I think that law enforcement should be allowed to not serve her. If somebody comes with a gun and sticks it in her face to rob her food truck, I think that cops should have the option of saying, oh, yeah, we don't serve the Rocky's food truck, Rocky's Road Brew. Let's just make it even. You think it's fine to discriminate against police officers? Let's make it equally fine for cops to discriminate against people like this food truck owner. And then let's make sure we get a list out there of the businesses that will no longer be served by law enforcement. How long do you think those places would stay in business? How quick do you think the criminals would absolutely destroy and run roughshod and armed rob every single business on that list if they know that they're on a police do not respond list? That's a free country. Let's make it okay. It is okay, in fact, to discriminate against cops. That's legal. Let's just make it reciprocal. That's all I'm saying. On to Florida we go. Ooh, hate those neighbor dispute stories. You know, I had a very contentious neighborhood in which I grew up. A man down in St. Johns County, Florida, Howell Morris, 72 years old. He was in some property dispute with his neighbor, Scott Lynch. So Howard Morris decided to run down Scott Lynch with Morris's tractor. The guy who was being chased by the tractor, his wife, called 911. She recorded video. You can't hear too much in the video. You hear the tractor flying after the 53-year-old guy. What you can't hear is that while he's chasing down his neighbor with the tractor, Howell Morris was screaming, run, fat ass, run, which isn't funny. It's not funny at all. Lynch said he ran for his life, fearing Morris would have run him over if he had stopped. He was able to get to his garage, shut the door. His wife had the video. They called the police. And now the tractor driver, he pleaded no contest to an assault charge. He's awaiting sentencing. And then finally in today's sign, Jim Carrey has certainly emerged as one of the more idiotic thinkers in America. He was on Bill Maher's show on Friday night, and Jim Carrey proclaimed his love of socialism.
But that word, the Democrats need to get a plan to fight this slander of socialism. You're going to be living in Venezuela. Well, I don't really see it yet.
We have to say yes to socialism, to the word and everything. We have to stop apologizing.
That's Jim Carrey. We have to say yes to socialism. Jim Carrey is a moron. I looked up Jim Carrey's net worth. Roughly $150 million. He's one of those rich, guilty liberals who thinks he can get some street cred if he goes on national TV and talks about how much he loves socialism. But the thing is, somebody like Jim Carrey, government takes away half of his wealth, he's still stinking rich. Some family scrimps and saves and puts away like $800,000. Government takes half of their wealth, their retirement's wiped out. Hey, Jim Carrey, you want to prove that you love socialism? You know what you should do with your money right now? Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Yeah, prove that you love socialism. Write a check right now for $75 million to the U.S. Treasury and let them redistribute your money to all of the people that you believe would be able to spend it better than you, because that's what socialism does. Now, it's kind of like our local billionaire who lives in the Highlands up in Shoreline, Nick Anow, who is a billionaire because he was childhood friends with Jeff Bezos. And Hanauer was one of the early investors in Amazon. And he just got lucky because of who he was buddies with. And now he feels so guilty about it that he's always pushing for an income tax. Funny, his $1 billion in Amazon stock dwarfs whatever income he has. Think Nick Hanauer will give away more than half of his wealth tomorrow, since he's such a big fan of socialist practices as well? But that's the thing. All it does is it gets these guys bon mots when they go to their cocktail parties. But for the person who just scrimps and saves and says, I am not going to rely on Social Security, we're going to deny ourselves some vacations, we're going to save our money, you know, maybe after a lifetime of investing and saving and denying, maybe you got $1 million and then government wants to take half of it, which is a very socialist principle. All of a sudden, you can't take care of yourself in retirement. And these stinking rich people, whether it's the billionaires who could have government take half of their money and still be worth $500 million. And then, you know, we got all the rich people. The rich liberals who want the income tax, because their money's in tax-protected accounts. It's quite the racket. Yeah, socialism. Jim Carrey loves socialism. Jim Carrey is as dumb as the characters he portrays on screen. So yeah, give it all away, Jim. Put your money where your mouth is. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. Oh, I gotta get out of here. I have said everything that I have to say for today, but I will think of a bunch of new stuff for Tuesday's show. Ron Dodd Show is coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. I know. Anna. Give it away now. Give it away now.
Give it away now. Give it away now. Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.